This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy.
It's Sam and T Summer Sit Downs
on ABC Radio Australia.
Malolele and welcome to Sam and T's Summer Sit Downs. This is the place where we sit down with our Neesian footy player and get to know their story through family and footy. We'll have some fun too, and they'll choose a few songs to soundtrack the chat. My name is Sam Wykes, and with me each week is my Cook Island Kiwi, Tinira Arona.
Kia ora, Sammy. Man, how good this special summer series where we take our usual chats on Monday and dive even deeper into the athlete's journey on and off the pitch. The wins, the tough stuff, and the lessons they'll share with us and with you. Today, I'm excited to have a fellow Cook Islander on the show, a 20-year-old by the name of Jasmine Tupou-Wichman, who has represented the Cook Island Moana on 5 occasions, including the recent World Cup, and played in the NRLW for the Sharks and the Cowboys. Welcome to the show, Jasmine.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. It's an absolute honour to have you here. First off, where in the Pacific is your family from?
That's a good question. Mom's from the Cook Islands and New Zealand. New Zealand and Auckland, Mangere, 275. the Cook Islands, Aotearoa and Rarotonga. Oh, everywhere. I think she's from everywhere over there. And my dad's from Tonga. I don't actually know. Somewhere in there.
Well, there goes my next question. I was going to ask, which one do you favour more, the Tongan side or the Cook Island side? But it's if you don't know where he's from, I'm assuming it's the Cook Island side. But what was it like growing up in your household?
Crazy. It's hectic. I have grown around mostly the brothers, the boys. And, growing up, they were just always aggressive with me. So I was kind of like another boy over here until my mum and dad decided to have a girl last. So, yeah, it's good. Being around the boys, I think the boys are better than girls. So,
how many siblings do you have?
Six. Three older brothers and two younger brothers and one younger sister.
Ah, yep. And whereabouts did you grow up?
New Zealand until I was about 10. And then we moved to New South Wales. And we just recently moved up here, I think, 4 years ago.
Oh, up in Queensland, yeah.
Yeah.
What was your upbringing like in South Auckland?
I think my... there in New Zealand, I think, was the best childhood. We didn't have any phones or TVs or anything, so we just go run on the road or play with the rocks in the sand. Yeah. I reckon New Zealand was the best freedom over there, I reckon.
Yeah, when you talk about those humble beginnings and just being there playing with the rocks, reminds me of tea stories. We used to play with the marbles in the Cook Islands and that was it. What was that like just growing up with a big household and just humble beginnings and just enjoying life for what it is?
Yeah, really good. I think when we moved here and the older I got, I think the more I appreciated the humbleness when I was little, because when my mum and dad had my younger siblings who were already here in Oz, and, you know, they got to go to the beach and have like iPods or whatever. And yeah, I think I appreciate the humble childhood I had.
And do you know what the reason why your parents moved to New South Wales?
Yeah, my dad actually wanted to move up here because he saw that New Zealand wasn't really the life for kids. So he actually was the one to made the move up here, looked for a job and everything so we could have a better life and more opportunities to live life for our future.
I think we all share that same journey and experience where we're second generation from the islands, and our parents choose to come to Australia for better opportunities and better work opportunities, which sets us up and gives us better opportunities to for the rest of our lives. And I remember when I moved from New Zealand to Australia, to Sydney, I'll be honest, I hated it. I hated Sydney. It was too big. I didn't like I thought the people were rude.
Yeah.
The culture shock was huge, and
It's massive.
What was your experience like moving from South Auckland to New South Wales and the difference in culture that you had to adjust to?
It was massive. I think I was in year four and we moved to Manly, so it was like kind of like a white area. So my mum had to go looking for schools where she thought that we could actually mingle with the kids. Once I got in, it was very new for me to be around like white kids, and I tried hard not to bring the white ways home because then I'd get a high. But then I think it was very hard until my younger siblings came along and we kind of got the jizz there.
Well, the Northern Beaches.
Northern Beaches.
Growing
I was going to say,
the Northern Beaches.
You surely would have had to go to school with the Hopewates out there. Then, if you know, to find that connection for the islanders. But you know, for yourself, when during those times of trying to adjust, what helped you?
I think my dad. My dad helped me. He just said, you know, like, make sure you go to school and just learn. Don't worry about who's around you. Just make sure you learn and get the education in. And that's kind of what I really did. And when I had my younger siblings at home, I'd have to look after them as well while mum and dad were at work. So I was just living in the moment, just rolling, you know, if this happens, this happens, whatever. So, yeah.
How long do you think it would have taken you to realise, okay, New Zealand's no longer my home, this is home, I feel content, I feel happy here in the prestigious Northern Beaches?
I think it took me ages. I don't know. It took me a long time. My dad was always like, oh, I'll always call Oz home, all of that. And I was always wondering, like, but you're from New Zealand. And then it wasn't until a few years ago, I was like, now I know what he means by I'll call Oz home. So, yeah, it took me a long time to realise, oh, this is my new home.
Mm. Yeah. I always think of when everyone does move over from either New Zealand or straight from the islands, they find that connection to their community pretty fast, you know, through church or sport. How long did it take you to, I guess, find some family members in your community and get that cultural connection?
Well, when we moved to Manly, my dad actually moved in with the Hoppers.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, and they were all I really knew because I think I saw it was only us in the area or like their mates and all of that. So like I grew up around the Hoppers and their friends and family, and then we moved here to Queensland. And I was like, frick, now what?
In regard to, you know, your Cook Island culture, your Tongan culture, did your parents instill some of that Pacific culture into your upbringing?
I grew up around my dad's side a lot. I was always went to my nana's house or obviously with the Hoppers. I never really got to know my mom's side. I think I only knew like a few of them. So when I got the call up, I think 3 or 4 years ago to represent the Cook Islands, I felt a bit closer to my mom's mum and dad. And I think ever since then, I've loved it. I've always wanted to go back and play for them. And yeah, hearing the drums and the way they talk just reminds me of my papa. So I'm like, I love every time I go there and represent the Cookies.
No, we're going to stay there with the Hopewates for a second. I'm just thinking of that dynamic of growing up with them or your dad even living with them. First, is your dad related to them or is it just he just found connection there and just said, hey, I'm going to come live with you?
My dad's related to their mum.
Oh, awesome.
I think they're first cousins and they grew up here when he would fly here to Campbelltown and live with their mum and all of that. So it was really good. Yeah, they're really, really close. They grew up like siblings. It was really good to have that.
Well, as I said, we get Will on as a co-host and we had him on.
Yeah, I've seen.
Yeah, so he's an amazing amazing talent both on and off the field, and some of the stories that he was sharing, just being one of 11 and his dad's stories, it makes you laugh and cry at the same time. What were some of the fondest memories, I guess, growing up with the Hopewate family?
I think they were very into church, and my auntie would always ring my dad and make sure that I go to church. And like every time I'll be messaging my cousins, Tupo and Lehi and them, and I'm like, oh, freak, All right, I'll come, sir. I'll go in. And every time she sees me, I've never seen the biggest smile on her face. And my uncle's place for me to go to church. Me and my older brother, Jason. Yeah, if it wasn't church, it was looking after the kids, or I just remember eating their noodles in the cupboard and their chips that they always have. And I think to this very day, they still have noodles and chips in the cupboard. Yeah. Those are my memories.
Do you still keep in touch with the Hopwades?
Yeah, 100%.
Do they reach out to you when you're playing, you know, when you're representing the Cook Islands, yeah, trying to shift you to go and represent Tonga?
Yeah, 100%. My cousin, Bunny?
Yeah, Bunny.
Oh, she'd always message me, oh, come. I'm like, oh, are you the coach? Are you the coach of recruiting everyone? one day, I hope to represent them one day for my dad. So, and my cousin, I'd love to play alongside her again.
And you mentioned you moved to Queensland. At what age did you move from Northern Beaches to Queensland?
I was in year 11. I think I was 17.
Yeah. What was the 19, reason? I think. Do you know what the reason was for moving?
My mom just said one day, okay, yep, we're going to move up to Queensland. And we were all just looking at her thinking, what, like... We're good here, but then my dad didn't want to argue back, and he's like, oh, frick. So then he had to jump on, like, the laptop and the computer, look for areas and schools, because I don't think we've ever flown up here before she said, oh, let's go to Queensland. So he had to do all the searching and looking. Feel sorry for the bloke.
Wow.
don't want to argue with mum.
And whereabouts in Queensland did you move?
Wynnum, Wellington Point area, so kind of like the Manly area to Sydney.
Wynnum Seagulls?
Is that the Wynnum Seagulls?
Yeah, yeah.
And what was that shift like moving? It's like finally settled in Sydney, settled in Manly from New Zealand, and then now you're going to Queensland. What was the culture shock for you like?
I was shaking my head. I don't even know. I just remember going to another white school and I was like, oh, not this again. I don't think there was one coloured student there at that school. I think I was the only one. So, yeah, it was very hard until I got into rugby league and then I met all these other Islander girls, which is really good. Most of them up here are actually Samoan, I think. I think I have like one... Tongan friend up here that I know.
How have all those experiences of you bouncing around, moving, helped shape you to the person you are today?
I feel it's made me very resilient. I feel I can move anywhere and just adapt. Yeah, it's been really good. I've never really been comfortable in one country or one state. So me moving wherever for rugby league and all that, it's kind of like an easy transition for me to just move here, move there without mum and dad or without my siblings. So, yeah, it's been really good and really good for my life.
You're listening to Sam and T Summer Sit Downs, and this week we're joined by NRLW player Jasmine Tupou-Witchman. Jasmine, what was your first footy memory?
My first footy memory... probably when I was at school and my mum and dad, they didn't want me to play rugby league or rugby union. So this teacher, she it was like a form and we had to obviously get our mum and dad's permission. She asked me to go home and make sure you ask your mum and dad. I didn't ask my mum and dad. I signed it myself.
Yes,
of course.
Myself, and then I went back in the next day and I said, yep, I'm ready to play. Went and played the game and then I think they saw my mum one time and they said, oh, she's really good at rugby. And my mum said, oh, really? And I was thinking, oh, no. Oh, no. And then ever since then, my mum was like, oh, okay, when's the next rugby game? And I could tell she was angry. And I was like, oh, I was hoping I wouldn't get a hiding when I get home. And then she found out it was the next weekend, so she came the next weekend and I was nervous. And she recorded it for my dad because my dad didn't want to watch. And then he saw that I was actually I was actually really decent in a way. And he said, okay, I think we have to put you in rugby sevens. And I think that was my first memory was that one.
You forged your own signature to play footy. Well,
the parent's signature, yeah. You got to do what you got to do. It's better to ask for forgiveness than permission.
And how old were you and whereabouts were you at the time?
Oh, I was in year seven. So what is that? That's straight into high school. 13 or 14. Man, I just waited for my mom to leave in the morning and then I quickly rode in the kitchen and left.
That's cool. No questions asked by the teacher to think, hang on, this looks like your handwriting. No.
Was there any influence from...
No.
That, all good. So you've done that before. It's not the first time.
Were you influenced from your Hopewate cousins?
No influence from them. I think they know to make sure they take the form home and to get it started.
Yeah, ask for forgiveness on the Sunday at church. You'll be right. Hey, there was a week between that game and the next game. So your mum knew. Were there any conversations in that week, or did she just wait to record it?
She just waited. She's like, okay, I'm gonna give this girl one chance. If she goes in, she plays freaking arrows, I'm gonna give her the biggest hiding. And her dad can give her a hiding too if she plays Ella on this camera. It was like one of those the flip ones, you know, the flip ones.
That was so all the pressure on your rugby league career was all on that one game where your mum was recording from the
flip camera.
I think it depended
on that one moment.
If I didn't
forge it, I don't think I'd be here today.
What did you love about rugby league? Why rugby league and not any other sport?
I was just always around the boys and they'll just always throw me around and I was thinking, I'm too aggressive, I think, for netball or touch. So I was like, I want to try rugby league. And, yeah, once I got into it, I freaking loved it because... Man, I think during the week, my mom, dad, my siblings would just make me angry. And I don't know how to let it out. So then I just waited till the weekend to let it out.
So you used rugby league to let off that steam like a lot of our players do.
Oh, man, I would have hated to be on the opposition. Because it seems like growing up with all your brothers and there would have been a lot of anger left out on that field. So there would have been some big hits. Yeah. Oh, big hits for sure. But, you know, the initial feeling... from your parents that rugby league or contact sport wasn't for you initially, what were their biggest concerns around that sport and you playing a contact sport?
I actually don't know. They never actually really told me. They put me in tennis for a few months and I freaking hated it.
Going over the fence, hitting it with anger.
Never bounced in the court. It always went out of the court. And I was thinking, I hate this. But my mom and dad, they saw that, you know, I could, like, whack a ball. And I was thinking, oh. So after my rugby league tournament that they watched, my dad said, okay, you can only choose one. And obviously I chose the rugby league. And he was just, like, shaking. And I was thinking, don't worry, mate. We'll get there.
I'm just thinking of the reaction from... you know, Tongan dad as well, and just even your mum around them giving you permission to play because you would have to do something special out there to get their attention. And I think of, you know, those Tongan dads as well, they're brutal with their feedback.
So you scored a few tries.
So, I was going to say, was it how many tries did you have to score? How many big hits? So what impressed your dad to say, okay, she's all right.
Okay, my daughter's going to be a superstar.
Yeah.
I think... just whenever I ran the ball, I just ran through the line and then there was the try line. I think that's the moment he was like, okay, she does have something, I think.
And when was it for you when you realised, okay, maybe I can make this a career and play professional rugby league?
Probably when I made Origin my first year, I moved to Queensland. Because when you're here, you have to go through like the ranks. There's like... I don't even know what it is because I didn't go through it. I just went through the club and then I went to Origin and then I realised, oh, maybe I can make this a living thing because I don't think NRW was in at that time.
Yep.
I don't think, or maybe it was only like 3 or 4 teams. And then the more I went into it, the more that NRW went massive and I was like, okay, yep, I think I'm going to keep playing.
Yo.
I feel like hearing your story, I feel like you've always got tough decisions to make, especially when it comes to, you know, who you're going to represent. You've got either Cook Islands, Tonga. New South Wales, Queensland. Where does your heart lie? Are you 100% Queensland, or would you switch over the border as well and come to New South Wales?
I wouldn't mind switching, actually.
Oh, yeah?
I wouldn't mind wearing the blue.
We're in the blue?
But, I don't think I can in Origin, though, because I think once you represent one, you're not allowed to swap.
Okay. RLPA, is there eligibility rules on that? Did you represent the older Queensland team or just 18s?
Just 18s and 19s.
You can switch, eh? Izzy did it.
Yeah, no, well, if her first club that she played in was in Manly, we could possibly, we could make
shift
that work.
The goalpost a little bit. Okay, so sorry, we're just spitballing here when the time comes.
That's opened my mind.
Yeah. Talk us through your NRLW, your first NRLW season, and what it was like to make your debut.
The Sharks. When I moved to the Shire, I think for Harvey's first, and I didn't want to go. I don't want to move out of here. And my dad just said, I think you should go. So then I thought, oh frick, okay, I'll go. And then they offered me NRLW, and it was a mad year. It was hectic, like training and working at the same time. And then my debut. When he called me up for my debut, I was so happy. Like, I think the first thing I thought about is what my dad, what his reaction would be. And I think he was happy for me. But when I rang him, I think he was like, oh, that's good. Okay, I'll see you this weekend.
Sounds like my dad.
Yeah, so, and then when I ran out there, it was, man, I felt like I could run forever. When I was out there, and the atmosphere was hectic because the men's were right after us, and the crowd was just mad. And it helped more that we won against the Raiders. So yeah, it was good. It was hectic.
Yeah, I know those moments where, again, Pacifica dads, they're not going to show too much emotion, but I guarantee you, he was telling all of his mates that his daughter was making her debut after the game. What was the reaction like walking off the field and heading towards your family?
Oh, my dad was the first waiting for me. I think everyone was in front of him, and he was just shoving people out of the way, so he was the first on the fence. It was a very wholesome feeling, I think, thinking about the nights I was young and my mum and dad would take me to training and them just waiting all night for me, and then they had work early in the morning, and I think in that moment I just thought, man, I did it. Like, I did it for my mum and dad. I did it for me. I did it for my siblings. And just looking at my younger siblings and seeing, like, their eyes was just like, I don't know. I felt like I looked at them. I was like, you can make it here. And just looking at them, they're like, oh, my gosh. Like, my sister just, you know, she played in NRLW. She made her debut. And I feel like for me, for them, it was like, you can make it here too. And, yeah, it was very wholesome, very wholesome for me.
Oh, man, I'm just catching both of our faces in the thing of just like, oh, that's cool. Like, yeah, like, oh.
That's inspiring. It's I can just the way that you painted it, and then us visualizing it. Yeah, seeing your younger siblings looking up at their older sister, and you've just played on Shark Park, and then the men's game's probably just about to start right after you, and they're surrounded by that crowd. And just all the energy in that stadium would have been unreal, especially being in a team like Canberra at the time. So you are an inspiration, and you know, I'm happy that you know your family got to have that moment with you. Before we head to your Cook Island international experience, NRLW Cowboys. So you shift, you move again. You've adapted. You've had to adapt again from one club to another, but you're going from one end
of
Australia.
That's what I mean. It's natural now.
All the way to the top. Talk us through that experience.
Holy frick, it was so different. Man, first of all, the weather. When the doors open on the plane, snapped me in the face, and I was thinking, oh my gosh, can I do this? I don't know if I can do this. Like, right away when I felt that humidity, I was thinking, frick, I'm going to be running in this. I went there very small in Townsville. And, like, everything, like, wherever you go, it's only up the road, like, 3 or 5 minutes. And I think the thing that shocked me the most was the training. Oh, frick. The training and the humidity. It was hard, but after it, you felt like you were a hero running through all that humidity. And I'm looking at the other girls, and I'm thinking, oh, man, I'm shaking my head. And they're like, oh, this is a nice – it's actually nice and cool here. And I was thinking, man, I'm sweating walking from the car into the headquarters. Yeah. That's how it was for me. It was hard, but it was good.
Let's stay with the training in North Queensland. We have Shelley Long, again, as one of our co-hosts, the long story short. And in the preseason, she used to always talk about running the hill. Is it Castle Hill?
Castle Hill.
Castle Hill.
Yeah, I drove up it.
Oh, so you didn't run? You didn't do the fitness?
No, we didn't run up there. I just moved there for, I don't know, the last three NRW games.
Oh, so you missed the... You missed that preseason bit when
I
had to run up.
I missed all of that. Well, I missed all of that. And when I moved up there and I did like the normal training, because it's, I think that's the most intense training I had in my life. And I was thinking, what did they do in preseason? I remember seeing the photo of them running up the hill. And I was asking the girls, I was like, oh, which hill is that? And they're like, oh, Castle Hill. And I was like, oh, okay. And the next day I drove up it and I was like, oh my gosh.
So how was the drive then? When you're driving up there, nice, how was the drive?
Nice view. I think they had a good view to look at when they were running up. long 10-minute drive, I think. So I don't know how long it would have took them to run up that. Steep as, very chill drive for me. I don't know about the run.
And then,
man,
you've had a successful NRLW seasons and two clubs, but then you get the call up to play for your mother's nation, the Cook Islands. Yeah, how much did that mean to you? I've actually received a photo from my mum that she sent of your debut, and it was a moment during the anthem, and you can just see the emotions. You can see just in the visual on your face, you can see how much it means to you. Yeah, what was running through your head in that time?
In that moment, I never thought like I would be here representing my mum. I thought I was just MMT hard, 676, wear the red nonstop, and I was really close with my mum's mum and dad, and I think it touched me because I was like, man, I'm finally representing them, and they've always wanted to watch me play, but they unfortunately, they couldn't make it to where I am now. So I think I was just looking up at the clouds and I was thinking, like, oh, they're watching me now and this is my first time representing them. And, it was just, very wholesome, very sensitive because I was wearing the jersey and just hearing the drums and the national anthem. Like, it just reminded me everything about them and I was, very, very proud and very grateful to represent my nana and my papa. So that's why it was so emotional for me, because just how they've always wanted to watch me play, but they couldn't.
I saw another beautiful video where you actually placed the jersey on top of their headstones. Again, watching that happen and knowing the reasons why we play the game, not for the X's and O's, but for the people that matter the most. What was it about your grandparents that connected you to be, to be so close with them? What was it about them?
So when I was living in New Zealand, we actually lived with them, and they were very unwell at the time. So I was always looking after them because my mum would always work and my dad was always working, but he lived on the other side of Auckland. I think just me being really young and just helping them, it made me grateful for them too, and helping them and the loving heart that they've had, because whenever my mum was angry at me, I just run to them, and then they just they always had the open arms, just everything about them. That's why I was so touched for me to do that with my jersey for them.
I know your nana and papa will be very, very proud of you and the journey that you've been on and representing, the Cook Islands. So you should be proud of that as well. you know, I've been honoured and privileged to be able to come into the Cook Islands women's and men's camps over the last couple of years. And, yeah, I get to experience some of the stuff that you girls and men get to be a part of, so the cultural stuff. And I know the women's, they do a fair bit of it in terms of teaching you, you know, a lot of the dances, the pe'e, and also the language and, you know, prayers in the morning, devotions. Do camps like this bring you closer to your culture and that connection to your family?
Oh, 100%. I think I would say this is my favourite time of the year is when I get to represent the cookies. So, yeah, I always feel the love and everything from the girls and Mahero and Terrence. Love that guy, Terrence. Yeah, they just remind me of my mum's side. So it's very touching for me to get to represent them every year.
My mum also shared another short story and it just made me realise. So last World Cup in the UK, Cook Islands are playing Tonga and it's my last professional rugby league game. And the women's team, they decide to come and watch. You know, we try and put on a show. I look up at the women's team, you know, they're on the green and yellow, and I noticed there's one red flag amongst it all. One red flag, one girl that's holding a Tongan flag. And my mum goes, oh, yeah, Jasmine was that girl that was holding the Tongan flag while the Cook Islands were playing each other.
Man, that was when I was MMT hard.
It's because you got flogged that game, that's why.
Hey, doesn't matter. But will there be a moment where you will or do you want to represent, you know, the Tongan international team?
Yeah, 100%. I want to represent my dad. My dad means a lot to me. Yeah, he's always my rock. He's been my rock through everything in my life. And this year he actually asked me, he was like, oh, do you want to maybe play for the Red? Or, and I said, oh, yeah, if it comes. And then as we went on, he was like, okay, you know what? I actually want you to play for the Cookies. And I was like, oh, that's good, because I was thinking that. But then I said to him, I was like, you know, like one year I'll represent you, and then I'll go back to the Cookies.
Hey, no matter what jersey you've got on, you're always representing your family. And make sure you come over to the Red one very soon, though. That'll be good.
Have you been approached by Tonga?
I have.
Or just by Pani?
And
other than Pani?
Yep. And then, yeah, I kind of just waited it out, and then I didn't hear anything. And I was kind of happy. I was a little bit happy. I was thinking, okay, like, it's a sign. Not yet. So hopefully later on in the years I do get approached at least once for my dad.
You know, when you play for the Cookies, it's obvious, or not obvious, but like you go in as the underdogs, you know, a lot of the times, very limited preparations. Even speaking to Kiana, this prep for the test matches that you played, you got hubs in New Zealand, hubs in Sydney, Brisbane, and you try and come together. How difficult is that to get that cohesion on the field, but at the same time, how easy is it to connect because you all have the same common cultural background?
I'd say it's pretty easy for the girls. I don't think there's been one camp where I've won and there's been a little, like, ifs and tiffs. So I think, yeah, it's
ifs and tiffs.
Pretty easy to, yeah, pretty easy to lingo with the girls. I think as a whole, we overcome the last minute things or what we're handed. So, yeah, as a group, we're very resilient as a group.
Well, what I do know is that the nation that you play for at the end of next year is a nation that you have to represent in the next World Cup. So you have this time.
Is it?
Yeah, so if you play for Cook Islands next year, you can't switch to Tonga to play in that World Cup. Some inside
knowledge.
When
did that rule come in? Or has that always been there?
It's always been there, but it's because it falls in the 12-month period. So you've got a bit of time to make your mind up. And
yep.
I'm sure I'll see you in the green and gold next year. In terms of your rugby league career, you know, what's next? What's happening? Give us an update on next season and where you're at.
Well, I actually moved home to launch a company with my dad, an NDIS company. So I think we're just gonna, I'm just gonna wait it out and launch this and wait until it's off the ground, and then I see where NRLW or Harvey's or BMD is at for me. So I think this is my main thing right now, is the company we're gonna launch right now. Should only be a few months and then get back into footy this year.
Well, you keep, you make sure you stay fit while and get your training sessions in while launching a company. How good.
Don't even tell me. My dad's on my ass all the time. I need to run up this hill that we have here. Freaking hell. I can't even breathe in this weather.
Oh, man. That's honestly, hearing you juggle both, you know, your professionalism and obviously figuring out life after footy and that resilience you spoke about, that's what it's all about at the end of the day. Your people will hear this and go, well, she's done that. Mm. We're going to have a crack as well, juggling both worlds. Your proudest footy moment, I know you're representing the Cook Islands, but what is your proudest moment, considering that you've played in PNG last year, you've played in Fiji this year, you've played State of Origin 18s and NRLW. What's your proudest moment to date?
Maybe when I made Origin for 18s, my first year, because I think that was my first year playing rugby league for a club. And yeah, I think when I made Origin and seeing how happy my mum and dad were, yeah, I think it was Origin under 18s.
I've just realised that playing for the Cook Islands has allowed you to travel to the UK for the World Cup, then Papua New Guinea for the PAC Champs last year, and then Fiji, Suva, this year for the PAC Champs. That's crazy that our game can provide these opportunities for a women's international team to travel, you know, across the globe and represent their nation. I'll start with, let's go with PNG. I love the images when you went into the one of the PNG villages and it was, they had Cook Island Ministries arrived there hundreds of years ago and they still hold some of the language and the culture that the Cook Island Ministries gave them. What was that experience like for you?
Man, when I was looking at them and they were, they had the lyrics and yeah, like all of that, I was like looking at them and thinking, oh, like this is hectic. Like PNG singing the Cook Island songs, literally like it's their national anthem. I was like, that's mad. Like it was just the whole vibe, eh? It was vibey as. And when, like when we went to the village, they just had these like massive smiles on their face, like, you know, like most of them running around with no shoes on or whatever. And they're just, yeah, it's very humbling.
Yeah, my mum couldn't stop talking about that day and that experience that both the men's and women's had. Quickly, Suva, Fiji, what was that experience like?
I think everything was just rushed, eh? I think everything was just rushed. I didn't get enough time to actually leave the hotel. I think the only time I left the hotel was to go do my laundry. Yeah. So, yeah, meeting those working at the hotel and, you know, in their lunch, whenever they have lunch, they go out and they play volleyball. And I remember I was swimming one time and one of them was asking, oh, do you want to come play volleyball? I was thinking, oh, man, how far is volleyball? It was only in the car park out the back. So I jumped out of the pool and I played volleyball for like half an hour with one of the girls. Yeah, it was good.
All right, let's just say there was a lot of lessons learned and let's prep for 2 years World Cup time where we go and dominate the women's space.
100%.
You're listening to Sam and T's Summer Sit Downs, and this week we're joined by NRLW player Jasmine Tebol Richmond. Jasmine, it's time to have a wee bit of fun, break up some of the footy chat and just get some of your crazy answers that we're about to ask you here from some of the questions. The first one, so if the world was ending tomorrow, you get one final dinner, but all the meals have to be, you know, from the Pacific Islands, what would you want, what would you want to be served?
Steak. Has to be steak. I love steak.
Is that an island?
Is that a different
island? It's come from the islands.
It's come from the islands.
I don't know how many. I know they've got their steaks here, but let's just say they're not known for their their T-bones or their Scotch fillets.
Lamb. I like the marinated lamb chops. I like the lamb chops.
The only steak that Islanders know how to make is it's burnt steak. It has to be well done. So do you have a traditional Islander food that you would want to have as your last meal?
I think
not the Outback Steakhouse.
All right. I think loo.
Ooh, okay. What type of loo?
Lamb.
Sippy. Beautiful.
Is that loo sippy? So loo, the taro leaves with the lamb inside, coconut cream.
Yo, okay.
All right. Next question. So we have a start, bench, cut. So I'm going to give you three players. Now you have to start one. So you're about to play a game. You're allowed to start one. You have to bench one and you have to cut one. The other one doesn't make the team. I've gone with three international players. And they have all been one of your teammates. So the first player. So start, bench, cut. You're the coach. First one is Kiana Takarangi. Second one is...
Off.
Wait. Doesn't make the team.
Oh, that one's easy.
The second one is Tiana Benetani. And the third one is Shelley Long.
Let's go start Tiana. We'll bench Shelley. And Kiana can just go, mate.
What is she? How did she hurt you on tour? Wowee.
And then last
one. You don't want to know, mate.
Last question before we wrap it up. All right. So in the camp, there's no more shampoo left. In the whole hotel, there's no shampoo left. Who's the first person to complain?
Probably Kiana. I think Kiana would be the first one to complain, hey.
Really? Is she high maintenance in those cookie camps?
I think so.
Have you got anything else on Kiana or so we can just write down? Take it back to her.
Maybe she, because she's captain, she would want to. She's trying to support the girls to get the shampoo. She's like, no,
exactly. That's what I was. That's what I was leading up to.
She's speaking up on behalf of the team to get more shampoo.
Yeah,
there it is.
You reckon that's the one? She's a team player that way.
Nah, she's probably got a bottle in her own bath and just not telling anyone.
Bro, she probably doesn't want to share, eh?
Exactly right. Well. It's been an absolute pleasure to sit with you, Jasmine. It was, just especially hearing about your grandparents and just that jersey and some of those special moments. So we're catching ourselves just looking in the on the video, just like, oh, wow, like goosebumps. So we really appreciate you opening up and sharing that type of story, and we want to wish you all the best for your career moving forward.
Thank you guys for having me.
No, thank you, Jasmine. It's been an absolute honor.
Thanks, guys.
That was good.